Episode 139, Red Leaf Retrocast. It's the World Cup, so obviously we're going to talk football for the next 30 minutes. But we do have
that's right, World Cup cast.
World Cup cast, but we do have a guest. Yata, you're back. It's only been, what, 2 years? 3 years?
Yeah, 2, 3, 4, 7. Something. Whenever the Mononoke episode was. Not the last Mononoke episode, the Princess Mononoke episode. That was, I believe, the last time. So I thought, you know, it was time. Few years, get the bad taste of I left in everyone's mouth out of the way. It's a distant memory, I know. And do something new, I guess.
Let's see, February 2020 was when you were back. Oh my God, February 15th. Was the world shut down yet, or was that the week before?
Oh shit, it would have been like, wasn't it March? And when Rudy Gobert, the NBA player, tested positive for COVID, and it all just fucking fell apart.
Yes, I think that was beginning of March. Yeah, so
some shit, dude. Maybe we caused it. Who knew?
we went to our own realm of purgatory of podcasting.
Hold on, JD.
What's up?
My microphone is not recording my audio for some reason.
It's okay, Hickey. I got you.
Connected okay.
I got you, Hickey. Don't you worry about a thing. I know you're just worried about Brazil going to lose to Japan in the World Cup, but it's fine.
See, I thought that's why I told you that is why JD's always recording everyone. It's just weird.
Huh. You're coming in pretty clear, though, I gotta say, so.
No, yeah, it's just Audacity is not.
Audacity.
Something's probably funky in the settings, I don't know. Or your computer.
I would say if in doubt, close it and reopen it.
That's right.
You'd be amazed how often that works.
Yeah.
Podcast been around for almost 6 years and we're still using just basic Audacity for recording a lot of things.
Go.
Dude, yeah,
Tori, you didn't tell them about Zencaster?
No, I didn't, to be honest. Like I said, I've been fucking busy thinking about other shit. I haven't thought about anything. I still remember, I was like, we were approaching this cast and I'm just like, yeah, I should probably actually fucking check in with Yada just to make sure that, like, you know, he hasn't forgotten, or that that is fucking.
And guess what? I had completely forgotten. It was like,
I mean, I don't blame you. Like, how fucking far in the west did we plan this? Like 3 months.
I was like, yeah, I remember, like, oh yeah, December. That's years away. But then,
yeah.
Like, oh shit, it's December.
Shit, dude, it's the start of December. It's now.
Late bells are ringing and it's here. Shit. Anyway, I'm here anyway. We got it together. We're all here. We're all in one piece. Three of the four of us have microphones that work. It's pretty good.
Hell yeah. Nah, we are all professionals here. Like, trust me. Like I was talking about as well. Like, look how good we are. I mean, when we started recording this podcast, we were taking notes. We had like fucking show notes. We were planning stuff out. Now we show up. We hit record. We talk bullshit. We end the recording, we send it to JD, and we go about our day.
Well,
that is big.
There is an anime that we're reviewing there at some point. Come on.
Aside the recording not working for me right now, at least I'm not inside of a car. That's a plus.
See, way big improvements.
That has improved. Yeah. You know, I mean, although it did sort of take away some of the excitement, I still do miss those days of like checking up on Hickey after at the end, just being like, you're still conscious, right? You're still here. Yeah, I've been talking for the last like 2 minutes here. You're fine.
Choke yourself out in the fumes.
Not the fumes.
It's like a dog you left in the car. Don't worry, I cracked the window open halfway.
I mean, yeah, better.
There's a homeless man standing outside the window. He looks like he wants to come in to be warm.
Oh, he'll be warm, all right.
I'm recording a podcast.
He'll be really warm.
recording an anime podcast about to talk about Japan beating everybody in the World Cup. Come on. Shin-Nihon.
Yes. And that's why we're talking about Captain Tsubasa today.
Wait, we are?
Whoa, hold on. I thought we were just going to talk more about Blue Lock and how much it works.
But the evidence is undeniable, right? It's clearly working.
Yeah, came out. Now Japan is doing well.
See that one striker? He claimed he watched the manager. The manager is showing everyone One Piece films of inspiration, and then just one guy's eyes glow blue one game, and my God, it's history making. Nobody saw it coming.
Yes, amazing, amazing stuff. Honestly.
Yeah,
Japan really does have the power of God and anime on their side, which is why I'm saying it now. They're winning the World Cup.
No, they're going to lose to South Korea. I have it on great authority that they are probably listening to Blackpink before every game.
I don't even think that is that weird, but sure, yeah, okay.
They probably are.
They are Korean.
Well. Is it true
that is true? They definitely are Korean.
In case you hadn't figured that out, I know it's a little bit hard to understand because you look at some of the countries and you look at the players and they're like, are you sure you're from Qatar?
Yeah, Qatar. You got there before me. I was going to say, wow, I didn't know Fernandez was a Qatari name.
I mean, put yourself in my shoes. Every single game I watch, there's Brazilian playing for everyone. Who's that guy? I know that guy.
Where the school with that guy?
From the national championship? What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm watching.
What do you mean he's Moroccan now? What the fuck does
he mean? What do you mean he's Moroccan? That explains so much.
Am I Moroccan now?
Why does Brazilian do German?
The upside is that you almost guarantee to sort of have some sort of success at the World Cup, though, right? Because some Brazilian's going to win the World Cup. He just might not be aware. He might just not be playing for Brazil.
Yeah, he is at least lucky, unlike me. Here I am. I'm from Norway. We don't qualify.
Well,
I'm partly Italian. And guess who didn't qualify?
Sorry, I'm all Irish. I'm all Irish, and we haven't qualified since 2002. So,
yeah, I mean that sounds about right. That sounds about where we like. What was it? Like I said, we were in the '98 World Cup.
We were in the same
group. Don't think that was the last time, I think. Yeah. No, I think we were also in like the early 2000s. Yeah, sounds about right. And then, you know, that generation of footballers retired. And, I mean, we finally have some hope because now Haaland exists and goddamn. But
all you need to do is clone him 10 more times and you'll be... 2026, here we go.
I don't know if I'd like that, but you know what, sure. Give me like three of him and a couple of Ødegaards and yeah, sure.
It's all right though. When the ski jumping World Cup comes around, you'll be fucking laughing.
Oh, absolutely. It's not even a competition. Oh, ski jumping, it can be a little tricky, but yeah, ski sports in general, it's basically a competition of see who is the best Norwegian, which means you're probably the best. I'm not even joking.
The occasional Austrian has something to say about that.
Dude, I'm not even joking. Like, we just had like a fucking there was like one like world sprint race or whatever the fuck it is. I didn't watch it, but it's like 9 of the top 10 that finished the race was Norwegian.
Yeah, and who was 10th? Probably an Austrian.
Probably, but it's kind of stupid. It's just like, yeah, 9 out of 10 are
from Swedish
Norway.
Guy that was born like one kilometer from the Norwegian border.
Adapt that to anime. Make a Blue Lock, but out of cross-country skiing game. And if you fail, they just let you to die.
You know what? That is a great concept.
It has to be a cute girl doing, you know, cute things anime, right? Cross-country skiing?
Yes.
It must exist.
I'm sure it does.
Yes.
I prefer the Blue Lock strategy of just every sports imaginable just becomes a Blue Lock show.
Synchronized swimming, but as an individual.
Synchronized skim. Yeah, no, that's... Listen, you will do everything perfectly in time without ever talking to your partner or communicating everything. You should just know, or else, You might not ever return from this pool.
Oh, God.
They get chained to the bottom.
Oh, no.
Goddamn.
You will make it out once you complete the fucking routine.
Yeah, there's like weights that activate. If they fail, it just sinks them. Like, shit. This is much much harsher anime. A lot of death we're talking about right now. Wonder why.
Well, it might be on theme,
what is
you know?
Sports without death? Yeah. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. What are we talking about today, JD?
So there's an anime called Haibane Renmei that, you know, a couple people like, I hear. That's what we're doing. Yeah. Not Captain Tsubasa, to my absolute shock.
He doesn't like it? He doesn't like Haibane Renmei?
God damn it, I watched it wrong. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
I just watched the World Cup now.
I mean, we're like, talking about Road to 2002. That was the plan.
Road to 2000. Out of all the Captain Tsubasa, you're just like, I thought we were watching Road to 2002. What the hell?
It's the World Cup. Ah, JD, you uncultured swine. Don't talk to me.
I do like calling. Yeah, the pig insult is good. It's very German of you.
No problem.
By the way, I was in a bar watching that Costa Rica German game, and everyone is just going Musiala. Ah, yes, a very Aryan name. It's like, what the fuck, Americans? Am I right, guys?
Yeah, those Americans.
Yeah.
Pesky.
Interesting.
It's always the reference. It's like, ah, don't worry. Germany's not winning.
Uh-oh.
Fucking Japan. It just had to be Spain.
But Spain is such a bad team. Holy shit.
They're good. They were good against Costa Rica.
Midfielders everywhere.
Okay. All right.
I mean, yeah, but Costa Rica was kind of... I don't know, kind of scared. And then they decided, you know, we should play football. I think we came all the way here to play some football, so might as well.
Do you think there was some remnants of the Spanish Inquisition that they were dealing with?
Nah, they just suck.
They just suck. Oh, God. Arch. Okay. Yata, you're here for the show Haibane Renmei. Why?
JD.
He's not here.
He's not here. What happened?
He's out.
Yata, what the hell? Looking at I asked you a question. You were gone. Did you go into purgatory?
You can tell us, but I'm not going to lie. The last time I did a Discord call was probably back when we did the Mononoke episode, and I was just sitting around. And I just closed Discord for some reason. I can't even blame a technical issue. I literally hit X.
Oh, shit.
I don't know why.
What kind of brain fart is it? It's like, oh, yeah, let me just mess around with Discord setups. What does this X does? What the fuck, dude?
What does this big red do not touch button do, I wonder?
Well, if it says do not touch, it has to be
every
touched.
Every single thing on my PC has one, so it might serve some purpose.
It wasn't even that conscious. I was literally just, close that tab. Oh shit, there goes Discord.
What is this Discord? I don't need that.
I blame Haibane Renmei. That fault.
You had to realize what purgatory was really like. That was the goal, right?
Yeah. Turns out it's general voice chat.
Okay. So why are you here for this particular anime? What's up?
So I actually have no recollection of why I'm here for this particular anime. I remember talking to Tori about Haibane Renmei, and I swear to God, it's been a long time. I think I told Tori that he should do a video on Haibane Renmei. And does that sound right? I don't know.
I don't remember if you did tell me that to make a video. I do remember we were talking. Because we've been talking a lot about getting something done together. Like, we've been talking about making a video or something. And then he approached me with, like, he was doing a project for, like, with, like, KONE stuff, and he asked if I wanted to join him for talking about Munto, and of course I was like, hell yeah, dude, I've always waited for someone to come and ask me to watch Munto. That's my big dream.
Ever since I was a little boy, I've always dreamed about talking about Munto.
So of course I said yes. That was very fun, by the way. But
so do the plugs for it.
Like,
more plugs. Plug away.
Go on, Yata.
Yeah, that podcast is called it's the Endless Eight Kyoto Animation Podcast, but it's on the My Anime Podcast RSS feed or on Clear and Sweet YouTube. So if you type in Clear and Sweet, it's on that Clear and Sweet YouTube channel. And yeah, Tori did a great job. It was a lot of fun. Munto is a confusing mess, but the podcast was fucking great. Tori brought it like he always does. And together, between three of us, six hands and three raids, we kind of figured out that we didn't understand what Munto was about.
Yeah, that's the way.
This is kind of apropos because, you know, there's a lot of things that you could kind of misinterpret about Hibernate Renmei as well. You know, there's a lot of me going, well, is that a metaphor for unbaptized children? Is that what we're doing here?
Hibernate Renmei is a lot of questions and not a lot of answers. But yeah, no, I don't know. We were talking about that, and then sort of Hibana Renmei and Ghost Town got brought up.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think I asked you then if you wanted to join the podcast or as a guest again, and then it's like, yeah, sure, if you're doing a Hibana Renmei or Ghost Town episode, then sure.
That's I'll reveal my cards right now. I'm actually a big fan of Hibana Renmei. I think it's up there. It's one of my favorite anime. And I know it's retro, especially by anime standards. It's over 10 years old, so it's super retro.
Oh, we go by 15. I've heard.
Okay. That's pretty exciting, though. I saw you got I listened to your Mononoke episode, and I was like, that's 15 years? Shit, yeah. I remember that one.
I bought a Renmei, it's 20. What are you on about?
It's old enough to drink in a lot of places.
Hell yeah.
It actually... It's 20 years old today.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is. It's pretty extreme. But yeah, and what am I talking about? Yeah, I'm a big, I enjoy like, so Hibana Renmei is like a Yoshitoshi Abe show, right?
Yes, so, he wrote it.
And I do like his stuff. I know JD is not the biggest fan of him, like Serial Experiments Lane. We also did Nia Under 7 on the podcast.
Oh my
stuff
god,
like that.
It's all by him. Fuck.
Welcome to the NHK.
No. He did the character design, but
yeah, he does character design.
Jackie's the guy who wrote.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So experience and Technolize. He's just the character designer.
So what are we doing Technolize so I can shit on all his works?
I mean, if you want to, if they both of them are actually working in an anime right now called Despera. Which I'm quite excited to see.
Despera? Like despair?
Despera. Yes.
Oh, it's my favorite English word.
I constantly feel it. Every day.
Every day. I felt it just before this podcast, watching America just, you know, let the whole country down.
You know, they did well. They did well. Come on.
No.
Last 16. It's 4 years. 4 years from now. 4 years from now. It's all about 4 years from now. Totally fine.
It's always 4 years from now. Hey, next time we'll start raining. No problem. Next time, don't you worry. Despera story centers around Ayn, a 14-year-old girl who builds devices despite the lack of scientific back. That sounds like a bad concept. Okay.
Nah, it's Taisho Japan. Taisho Japan is great, except you know the war crimes and the slavery of Koreans. But aside that, Taisho Japan is quite great scenario. I like.
I definitely denounce slavery as. Yeah, it's generally a bad thing, right?
Damn, dude. What a controversial statement.
Weird. Well,
can you say officially, get the press release ready, the Red Leaf Retro Game Podcast is against slavery. Is that what we're saying here?
That's
the official statement.
That's the official statement. Right. Some
that's
might
the kind
be
of hot takes people come here for.
My thoughts and opinions are not do not represent.
Kanye West might have something to say about these statements, but
does not. My thoughts and opinions does not represent Red Leaf Retrocast or the official.
Terrible.
It's my own thoughts only.
Boy. Okay. Right. So do we have any further World Cup thoughts, or shall we dive into this Hibernate Renmei show?
World Cup thoughts?
Yeah.
It's been an interesting World Cup. A lot of teams
just
gave up.
Sucks.
Everyone fucking sucks.
Everyone's terrible. Brazil loses to Cameroon. Morocco is apparently a football powerhouse.
I was going to say, Morocco kind of low-key good. Maybe they don't suck as much as everybody else.
Now watch them lose the next Croatia. Game like 4-0. Yeah,
no. Croatia kind of tied
Brazil. Yeah, right? Good.
Didn't Croatia lose to... Who did Croatia lose to? Or did they only tie? I don't remember.
I think they beat Canada. And they...
Look, everybody beat Canada. It was quite the... desperation of sadness that I went through. I was like, look, Canada,
even,
all right.
Even Belgium beat Canada. And Canada, fucking Belgium sucks. They got completely outplayed by Canada. Still
look,
won
look, I did like a quadruple bypass parlay with Belgium getting knocked out, Morocco winning the group, Japan knocking out Germany. I mean, I'm rolling in the dough, man. I totally saw this coming. True. Oh, so yeah. True.
Of course.
What, you didn't have
who are you guys rooting for now? Are you officially rooting for Japan?
Japan, South Korea, and
Brazil,
Morocco.
You know, kind of the thing. My country actually qualified. Yeah.
Hey, don't rub it in.
Don't rub it in, Hickey. On, God Hickey. Damn.
All right, actually, that's can I say mean. I'm kind of rooting for Argentina and Portugal.
Nah, you can go fuck yourself.
Portugal.
I'll tell you why, right? It's like, this is the last chance we're going to get to see Messi and Ronaldo. This is it, right? And they're gone. It's game over. And like, Messi
they don't need to be disqualified. They need to be humiliated and then disqualified.
Okay.
As a more balanced, you know, neutral European who's got no hope of ever getting to the World Cup anyway, I would like to see Messi and Ronaldo kind of go out. This is the last time we're ever going to see them. And when we're all like old and fucking complaining about young kids these days, we can say that again, right? Like, this is it. This is game over for them. So yeah, Morocco winning the World Cup will be great and all that, but Messi, a Portugal-Argentina final, settle the debate once and for all. I mean, a bit spicy.
I mean, I get that. I definitely do. But
at the same
time,
apparently, so.
At the same time, this is a country that lost to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the funny thing, right? See, then Saudi Arabia could print out t-shirts say the World Cup winners, right?
World Cup's winners, yeah. Yeah, nah, I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I don't really care that much about who wins. Like Japan or South Korea, I say that for the memes. I don't necessarily believe they're going to win, but you know, I mean,
no, you gotta go full in. You gotta go full in.
That'd be cool. I really like South Korea winning just because, like, I don't know, I like Son a lot. He's a really good player. So yeah, which I hate to say because he's a fucking Tottenham player, and goddamn it, fucking Tottenham.
Tottenham.
So yeah, but whatever.
That's where we draw the line.
Also, yeah. Yeah, you know who also has a lot of Tottenham players is England, and I do not want them to win either. I really don't want them to win.
Like, England is one of those teams where, like, I'm a big Premier League fan, so normally I should absolutely really fucking root for England. But there's just something about England and their attitude to going into tournaments and whatnot, and all of that shit, like the fans and whatnot, and the media, makes me go, nah, I'm good.
It's coming home. It's coming home, mate. What are you talking about? Fucking coming home. I'm from Ireland. I cannot like legally support or endorse anything English.
I did love the accent. That was phenomenal. I clapped to that one. Much better than my Dutch Dutch trial earlier pre-podcast. it just always ends up being German. It's weird.
That's me trying to do a Welsh accent. It always comes out German. I don't know why. I feel like the default accent for anyone trying to do a bad accent is just going to be, well, you're either Jamaican or German. It's somewhere there.
That's great. Sometimes you get to French or Indian, weirdly enough. I don't know how that works.
Indian.
But.
Yes, Indian is a classic one as well. I was going for Polish and I ended up in India. I don't know how that happened. But.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot when I try to do a Russian accent. And then it's like, this stopped being Russian a long time ago.
Now we're just making fun of Chinese people for some reason. I don't know why.
it started out as yes, bring that vodka over here, Nihon. I was like, whoa, where'd that go?
Capitalist swines. What?
Stereotypes.
It's okay. Everyone's allowed to laugh at Russia.
Do we need to pull the we are not, you know, those opinions do not represent it again.
I mean, it's not just one. This podcast is not just about one country making fun of the world. We're a multicultural multicultural podcast just making fun of stereotypes.
And specifically Russian ones. We're really making fun of ourselves, though. We're saying we cannot do accents.
Right.
That's right.
You know, if I try to do a Russian accent, it comes out, I don't know, Japanese. Like, that's just my incompetence. That's not like a...
I have been watching a lot of Akiba Maid Wars, so...
Of course you have.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Russian maid that speaks Japanese, you know?
Yeah.
I just sound like her every time now. It's weird. I don't know how it happens.
No. Well, GD's okay.
What?
Never mind. I was going to say nothing. I was going to say something.
You're going to call me a maid?
I realized. No.
I'm not worthy enough to be a maid. I've seen that show. I wouldn't be able to pull the trigger.
Is it good?
It's absolutely
it's good. It's very fun. It's a fun show, unbelievably enough.
It is a Yakuza side story, like side quest.
Okay.
The only thing I saw, I was like, the CG, is there like animation or the CG just looks a little bit, I don't know, uninviting, we'll say. I don't know.
Doesn't matter. It's so absurd. It just doesn't matter. Again, it's like watching a Yakuza animated series.
Yeah, have you ever played any of the Yakuza games?
Dude, I am not a video gamer at all. The last video game I played was probably fucking... I can't even remember.
What,
honestly.
Mario Party on like the GameCube or something?
I don't think I've ever held a GameCube.
Oh man.
I think the last thing I had a PlayStation 2 as a kid. And the end.
Wow.
I don't know. I just never got into video games.
Man. That was my beginning and my end.
Yeah. I plugged it in and I plugged it out and we all had a great time.
Plugged it out.
I didn't know you could play. I didn't know you could play games with it. I just thought it was sort of like an ornament, you know. It just sort of sat there.
Just thought it was a cheaper DVD player.
Yes.
Turn it on. Yes. Turned it on. It had lights. It made sounds.
Yeah. Well, great. Yeah. I got distracted by a squirrel or something. I don't know. I'm aware of the concept though of video games. I just never really got into them.
I have heard of them before.
I know they are a thing. You know. It's not just like one big conspiracy to trick me that they're actually not video games at all. I've been sort of tempted every so often. Every time a new like a title comes out, like was it God of War is out right now?
Yeah, buddy.
And I'm like, fuck, that looks good. Or Elden Ring was the one that really got me sort of tempted, but I just don't have the time, dude.
Well, what you do is you just throw on a YouTube video of someone else playing the game, and you're like, got it.
Yeah, good there enough. You go. It's kind of like I'm playing it.
Wow, I mean, he's getting frustrated. I'm frustrated he's not progressing in the game. What an asshole.
Feels like me watching JD play God of War again. Whoa, but yeah, hey. No, it's...
Oh, one time. Hell. One time.
No.
It was one time.
My fucking God, JD. The repressed throne is coming back.
Nah, it's real good. It's real good. I mean, look a lot of games
arrow.
Nowadays.
Whatever.
Yeah, look at the arrow.
No one's ever been stuck in a video game before. Oh. My God. Harsh
never,
audience.
Never. Never. Nah, but I mean, like, when it comes to like the whole watching video games thing as well, it's just like, especially a lot of single player games now, it's like, they're almost like movies in a way. So it's like, you can very much watch a lot of games. Because there's so many just cutscenes and... I mean, yeah. Literally, like, was it The Quarry and shit like that? That I mean, that isn't a game.
Is
it's barely a game. It is a movie. Yeah. Well, yeah, anyways.
Anyways, I will play the Baccano music and we'll talk about this Purgatory.
Hell yeah.
Here we go. That's got to be the longest drop that we do, just because the music is so awesome. I also think I got to do a Black Lagoon drop. I think that'd be sick. Good little transition there. Okay.
I agree, because agree I heard that.
You hold... Tori, I know you listen to the Bacchanal theme song on loop. Okay.
Yeah.
How about in Renmei? Charcoal Feather Federation? Sure. Fall 2002 is when it came out. Has 13 episodes. It's psychological themes, according to Mal. And the synopsis is as followed. Born from a cocoon in the village of Old Home, a young Hibane, a being with a halo and small gray wings, awakens to a world she does not understand. It's okay, neither do I. Without memories of her past, named Raka. What does that mean? Stone? I think it means stone, right?
Falling, right?
Falling?
Falling, yeah.
Which is the one? Oh, Reki yeah, is the rock? Stone. Reki's the rock? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Named Raka for the dream of falling. Falling she had... While inside the cocoon, she soon becomes accustomed to life in the strange town. However, there are strict rules for the Hibane, such as being forbidden to leave the village, go near the wall surrounding it. These, along with mysterious disappearances of their kind on their day of flight, begin to unsettle Raka and the others, since they know almost nothing about their own kind. All right, anybody else want to take a stab at summarizing the show better? Because
it's like Angel
like
Beats without the emotional manipulation. It's like Angel Beats without the emotional manipulation, but with like serial experiments laying character design.
And it's all speculation because Abe is that kind of guy who goes around saying, no, it's all speculation. I never had the intention. No, they have wings because it's aesthetic.
It's kind of the definition.
The fans can speculate. I like fans speculating, but it's not true. It's not the purgatory. Ooh, but fans speculation is very good. I don't like the guy, by the way.
It's the it's a definition of what do you think it means?
Oh, basically. You're in the middle of class, and it's just like, well, I think it's this. Really? Do you now? Okay.
It could be.
So that character committed suicide, and Abe goes, no. Of course not. That's just your interpretation, my man. He's like, what do you mean? It's a fact. It's
she saw the fucking train coming at her.
That can mean anything, JD. Come on.
The fear of public transportation. Got it.
You know what? Yes. The amount of times I'm going to take public transportation, I'm just standing there waiting for the bus, and I start thinking to myself, it's like, do I just, you know.
Not get on it this time?
No. Yeah. Turn around, Tori. That's what you're going to say.
Yes.
The day
now
of flight
listen, I'm
has
stop
happened.
There, and I'm
you
gonna...
will not get on this bus.
I'm stopping. Listen, I'm stopping there, and I'm leaving the rest up to your interpretation. What was the ending to my sentence?
Tori, A, turn around.
Tori's life is just a what are those choose your own adventure books? That's what it is.
A, yep. He throws himself in front of the bus. B, he turns around. Or C, he goes to school.
That's the fun part as well. My life is a choose your own adventure tale, but no matter which fucking choice you pick, you always end up in the same spot. It doesn't matter.
Home
is it's
bed,
all the illusion of choice.
Contemplating tough life choices of the day. But isn't that how about in Renmei at the end of the day? It's just that. She goes to some mundane job.
It's not a choose your own adventure.
No, it absolutely is. She's got to go to some mundane job, not get paid for it, write her shit in a notebook, and then she goes to sleep. Yeah?
And sometimes her friends die. Yes.
Hey, just you don't know, maybe. Do they die, Hickey?
I mean, die in a just, you know.
I mean, to me, they just left.
Sense.
They threw that shitty halo on the ground and just went past the wall. Just left.
They took off the halo, they turned on the spotlight for some reason, and left.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
A bunch of dicks.
What a shitty way to leave your friends.
Not even a goodbye. Not even a goodbye.
Yeah, you cannot. You need to just go gentle into the night, I guess.
Yeah.
Think of the electricity bill, man. Have you not seen fucking electricity price in Europe recently? Jeez.
Look, I'm still waiting for my first mortgage, like electricity bill payment. Like, I gotta pay oil. You kidding me? Oh my god. Yeah, all right. So, I do not like the show, while Yata really likes this show. So we're on total opposite ends of the spectrum here. This is my third attempt watching the show, and I did finally finish it this time. How about that, guys?
Shit, dude.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. The last attempt of me watching the show was in 2015. I know this because Mal told me so.
Hell yeah.
Well, could you tell me why you're not a fan of it? You think it's too boring? I could see that being a thing.
So
it's quite slow, and
it's extremely slow. It's very mundane. The way the writing goes about with the various metaphors and allusionary techniques, I think, is also very boring. Like I don't get any real enjoyment over figuring anything out in the show. Or my own interpretations. It's just, and then I remember my first time watching it was, I didn't really think about anything deep with the show. It really just felt like a bunch of young girls, sometimes guys, show up, going to work and then not getting paid for it. That's why I made that joke earlier. It's a very nothing show to me, and it's not like I hate it. I just don't get much enjoyment out of it. And it's very much in the same realm of how I feel about a lot of this other guy's works. It's just not exciting for me. It's not my kind of show.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I can totally see that. I'm not going to lie. Like, if someone asked me to anticipate why I think people wouldn't like it, it would be for those kind of reasons. It does, like... I think you guys met. I think someone made a joke in the last episode you guys had about, you know, what the kids would describe as a vibe.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, yes. I actually like tend to seek out vibes in shows a lot. Where if you can get me with a sort of a mood and a sort of like a slower pacing, I'm just sort of there for sort of the characters and the world itself. I don't really need too much more from it than that.
Okay, I'll give you an example of. When I get to that, I get the vibe and I'm into just what you said. And that's going to be the next show that we're doing is Mushishi.
Yes, I was going to mention Mushishi. That the one thing about Mushishi that's kind of different from this show is it's episodic, right? So there's sort of like a goal to be met in each episode, where this one sort of just is, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And yeah. Yeah. I feel exactly that way.
And I could see if you're like, if you're looking for something, like I want some sort of closure or something definitive that I can say, this is what this is about and this is what happened in this episode. It doesn't really give you that, right? Like it could feel like, as a criticism, I could say it feels sort of aimless, right? Like it's just sort of like nothing of consequence really happens. Therefore, why should I care? And I can understand that point of view, but I just don't feel that way about it. I find this, the same way a lot of people would like gravitate towards a Mushishi for being sort of like a therapeutic, relaxing thing. What is it called? Inuyasha. That's sort of like food, comfort foods anime where you just sort of watch it and it's just sort of like, it's about the vibe and the atmosphere and it sort of chills you out and sort of de-stresses you. I get that with Mushishi, but I also get this with Haibane Renmei as well. And I actually kind of do like the speculation as well. Like I found myself thinking, especially the first time I watched it, I was like, oh shit, I wonder like, are they unbaptized? Are they, because as a Catholic, I grew up Catholic in Ireland, and Ireland's a really like quite religious society.
Whoa, hold on. Are you sure?
Well, last time I checked, yeah.
Hold on, let me just take a look outside. Yes.
There's a couple of pieces of media that I would like, they're like core tenets of Irish culture, we'll say, where yeah, like we had to study it in school or whatever. And a big thing is like how taboo suicide was as a concept, right? And the idea of like, if you commit suicide, you are sort of like you don't get to go to heaven, but you don't necessarily get to go to hell either. You sort of exist, you know, like all of this kind of shit, like limbo space. And I found myself watching it the first time around and just kind of like thinking about like, what exactly are these hibernae? Then I found that quite interesting. And as the world kind of unraveled itself a little bit more as the episodes went on, I found that was enough to keep me interested. Couple that with the sort of like the chilling kind of like, and by chill, I mean like relaxing, not chilling as in scary, sort of atmosphere the show has. Me really liking the soundtrack and how sparse the sound design was. I really kind of vibed with the show. And again, I'm using the word vibe here, but it is a vibe to me. But that's not for everybody, because like if I talk to, you know, the guys who I do podcasts with, they'd be like, you are fucking, you must be smoking something, dude. This is boring as fuck.
Show.
I don't get it whatsoever.
Fresh,
yeah. I can relate to that.
Yeah, that's it. And I can completely understand that, because I know a lot of people feel that way. I want something. I have 23 minutes and I just wasted 23 minutes on sort of nothing. But for me, it's just, I never like really felt that way, you know? But I can sympathize with that perspective and I can totally understand that. And that's why I think a lot of people have like when they think of Abed, they think more of Serial Experiments Lane. Because at least with that one, as weird as it is, you feel like you're sort of going somewhere.
Abed, dude, you know? he didn't wrote any of those shows. This is the only show he actually wrote.
Yeah. The big frustration with this one is like the fact that he kind of dropped the manga to make this. So it's not like you can kind of turn around and go, oh shit, well, wouldn't it be great to know what happens? And it all, like, you know, like more about the world and build it out. Because I actually think the world itself is from like a coming from like a fantasy fan perspective. Like, I think the world is quite interesting, and like the culture around the hibernate themselves, it was like very kind of fascinating to see how that sort of like played out, you know? And that kind of stuff is just inherently interesting to me. And that's probably why I like the show so much. Also, it was one of the earliest, first anime I ever saw. And it left an impression on me. So there's probably like a nostalgia hinge to things as well. But I guess the question more so would be about Hickey and Tori, because you guys are sort of like, Hickey, you said you don't like Abe's work and you don't like Abe. So
no,
I'm guessing
I don't like
you might be with JD on this one.
No. I actually like, I like his work, so I don't like the guy.
He can separate the artist from the actual work.
Art.
Yeah. No, I quite like Hyman and Rene, actually. Not so much because of the vibe, but I guess, a little bit. I think the world of Hyman and Rene is extremely eerie. Also coming from a Catholic country and being born and raised a Catholic, you don't want to be in that place. the city.
Wait, Brazil is religious too?
Of course, it's always speculation.
What's going on here?
Let me just take a look outside. Yes, it is.
Gosh, man.
It's this. Once you get hold of what is going on, and even before the Sinbound thing kind of starts, the city is kind of eerie. It's always kind of, I don't know, cloudy, and the colors are kind of, everything's kind of discolored. Like we're in an eternal autumn.
It's very gray. Like, the whole show is very gray, brown,
everything's very
sepia.
Gray. The music's kind of eerie as well. So I had this feeling of there's something very wrong.
Yeah.
With the atmosphere of this place, but
a question for you, Hickey. Do you always feel like something bad was about to happen?
Yes,
I always got this.
The crows.
I always got that sense like there's like, oh shit, something's gonna happen. Well, the first time. Like there's something's gonna happen soon and it's not gonna be good. I totally get that eeriness as well. I think it was a good call.
Even when the show is developing and it's very cute. A lot of things, you know. Oh, there's the festival, and you give the little nut, the colored nut to someone. You know, to signify something, and you see the characters around, and the humans actually like really care about them most of the time, although they don't explain what the humans are. There's still that lingering, eerie of the show that I really, really enjoy. And yeah, but yeah, after everything, it just, again, don't, I might don't like the guy, but I enjoy his work a lot, actually. I watched it, but I think it's the fourth or fifth time I watched the show.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, it's kind of like, I also actually like Ibana Renmei. I'm a little like, so the whole like not explaining thing angle, right, sort of just raising more and more questions, is something that I'm kind of off and on about depending on the show. And there are definitely things with Ibana Renmei that I do kind of wish that they would have gone a little bit more into, maybe at some stuff that I feel I could have been... I guess for lack of a better word, I feel like some of the, or a lot of symbolism isn't very consistent. It sort of feels like rather than sort of sticking to just a single core idea, it sort of feels like he tries to throw in a lot of smaller details in there as well sometimes, to just, that he just kind of tries to throw you off, I guess. But I don't know. I could be completely wrong. So yeah, but I do agree, like, the mood of this show, the eeriness, sort of from the very beginning, just sort of being introduced, like, falling, the crow attaching to Taraka and trying to save her, trying to stop her from falling, is like, I took that as, like, her not, or the crow trying to stop her from going there, right? And it's just like, first thing then that immediately pops into my mind is this a bad place? And then it's like you're hit with all the moody colors, all the gray, all the stuff. And it's like, and it's the whole story about, oh, this place, a place to protect you. This is a good place. This is a paradise. This is all of this, but we can't go outside the walls. Don't touch the walls. Very bad. Stuff that's like, this is strange. It's a weird feeling, but I mean. And yeah, then the show kind of just goes about on its own pace and yeah. I think it's fun. I think it's fine. Like, it's not definitely on my favorite show or anything like that, but it's definitely an interesting take. It's an interesting show.
We don't have a lot of esoteric anime, so it's interesting to see when it goes there. Well, not serious esoteric anime.
Yeah, it
doesn't revolve big boobs and magic powers. Like, the only other one is kind of like Saint Young Man.
Uh-huh.
Which is that anime about Buddha and Jesus living in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So Yata, it's interesting to see, like... Yata, you brought up religion earlier. And how you're religious and you know, this show.
Well, I'm not religious personally, but I was like raised in Catholic environment. Yeah.
Okay. You got the background of knowledge for it. I was not
to some degree.
It's to some degree. I was not raised religious at all. So my first time watching this, I was, you know, living in America, you know, Christianity and all that. My brother's very religious though, for what that's worth. But anyways, my knowledge of my knowledge of Christianity and just a lot of religion in general is very surface level for a lot of things. And this got me thinking about how I consumed and watched Hozuki's Cool-Headedness, a lot of Japanese culture involved with religion and afterlife and all that. And the presentation of that show at least got me interested in looking up and educating myself on a lot of the backgrounds. What does this mean? What is this character? What is essentially? And with Ibana Renmei, I'm like, okay, so we got Angel Girl with a halo and they're kind of hanging out, and never really drove my interest in looking up anything. Like, it didn't even come across on my first watch as something religious. It was just, they were existing in this town and they happen to look like angels. And I know that was, God, that must have been, you know, 10, 12 years ago when I first watched it. But that's just how I ended up consuming the show. And it didn't really spark any, it didn't spark anything to take that extra step. You know, I spoke about that with Mononoke in the last episode where, you know, upon watching it for the second time, I wanted to dive deeper. It did spark that interest. Well, this one, I remember it didn't do that. And even watching it this time and me finishing, it just wasn't, I didn't get any sense of satisfaction into bothering with a lot of the metaphors and why they were going to point A, point B. Like, why are there humans there? Do I need to, is there something in religion I'm missing to why these humans exist in this world while there's seemingly these angel creatures walking around and being, I don't know, what's the rule? They can't acquire anything new, and they can't use money, and yet the concept of trade and payment is through a notebook. Am I missing something religiously of why that's a thing, or what's going on here with a lot of these aspects of the show?
Honestly, that's probably like, I don't know if Hickey has any experience for that. I just really saw that as world building in terms of we're sort of setting out the guidelines here, especially that first couple of episodes. I think the notebook thing was introduced in episode 2. It really just felt like, okay, that was just like or at least I read it as just a, you know, this is a writer creating his own sort of space, right? I don't think it was necessary. I think it's like, it's maybe religious the same way sort of like Evangelion is sort of religious. They're sort of taking pieces to create their own sort of story. Does that make sense? So like,
yeah, no, that does make sense.
Yeah. So like, you're like, okay, I like this idea of like these angel wings and this halo, right? There's like there's a chain of associations associated that one, because when people see these things, they automatically think of something. Now I'm going to put them into this space here, and like whatever I'm going to do these shit, but you know, whatever people think and whatever people interpret, maybe it's like it can go whatever way. It feels like it's very loose in terms of like, I do get the sense that for better or for worse, there's a lot of like, well, what do you think? You know what I mean? With the show, it's just
Yeah, so to interrupt you, with the existence of angels kind of in your the existence of angels are in your face, and my immediate thought is heaven, you know, heaven and hell. Like, all right, so where are they exactly? Is this actually heaven? But then they constantly talk about moving on. So at least in that sense, you go, okay, so are they actually in heaven? And then what's the purpose? And that last question constantly asked was just from a surface value of what I get from that is, well, then what is the purpose? And I could never really answer that. That was my struggle.
Yeah, my interpretation of it was that it was some sort of purgatory or play on purgatory. So if anyone's not familiar with purgatory, it's essentially like sort of between space, right? It's not quite heaven, it's not quite hell. Generally, it's sort of reserved for like, I guess, like unbaptized children. That's how they kind of scare people. At least we're in Ireland, you know, like unbaptized babies go to purgatory.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that before, actually.
Mm. And
everyone goes to purgatory. Like, when once you die, you need to be purified, basically.
I'm pretty sure
that's it. The idea to need to be purified, right? Because I was thinking of this, like,
so
I mentioned
not
at the beginning,
so much like everyone goes because everyone kind of sins in life. It's kind of something we do. So we just go there and to be judged, and they give you a sentence. It's like, okay, just, I don't know, clean that thing, and you go to heaven, become hot gas, happy hot gas. They go, okay.
Happy hot gas.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess, so if you're thinking about like purgatory, okay, when I first saw it, I was like, this has to be purgatory, right? Like they're not, because there's no way this
100%.
Is. Yeah.
Like, and it's the, like, the now, moment they got the wings are gray and not white. I was like, okay, that's purgatory.
when they sort of like disappear or go beyond the walls, that's sort of them, you know, like
going to
moving
heaven,
to heaven, like, yeah,
ascending.
Yeah, that's why I read it. Yeah. I think,
well, they do talk about it in the show.
Play.
Or the angel beats thing. I kind of mentioned the angel beats because it has a certain sort of thing where they're a moment of like they have a moment of acceptance, right? There's like a breakthrough moment psychologically, and then they kind of move on from this place. Whether it's to heaven, you know what I mean?
When Ku gets the day of flight, it's kind of like that. She starts giving away her things, and it's like, oh no, it's okay. You fueled me up. with what I needed.
Yeah.
And then she just disappears.
Disregarding your earthly possessions to move on to the next life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're leaving your baggage behind, right?
They all have different reasonings as well, right? Like some that don't want to go until they've seen everyone else, their friends off, stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that. I can see, same thing like once the Sinbound is introduced, because the thing they said about the Sinbound was that they would not get the day of flight and they would be stuck there. So I can easily see, like, for example, when we talk about what's the humans, I mean, considering the fact that there seems to be generally, apart from with the Hybun themselves, there doesn't seem to be that much despise for the Sinbound. I could easily see them just being people that could never go to heaven.
That would play into the suicide thing, right? Because like,
the suicide thing. Yes, because the suicide thing to me is very prevalent, not just with Eki and the very obvious train incident, but like same thing with Raka and the Falling. Same thing with the Raka and the Falling, right? Which the whole thing with that was like she is falling and being a crow is trying to save her, but she tells it to let go. She constantly talks about wanting to be alone, or it feels like she is completely alone. Nobody loves her. She's trying to figure out her dream. The crows are calling to her, and it's like that whole incident as well on the bottom of the well where she finds the body of the crow that like. That was someone that she claims is somebody who probably tried to protect her and stuff like that. And yeah, I could absolutely see that being her killing herself, jumping off a building, something. I don't know. And that's
the
why.
Friend
and
tried
that's
to
why
save her and ended up falling
so,
with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And coming back as a bird because, goddamn,
goddamn crows.
Even post life is not fair.
God. Oh boy.
Yeah, that's also because like why cannot acquire new things? It's pretty much probably because of that. If we're going to the purgatory, what's the fucking point of you going straight if you just become bounded by earthly things and you afterlife. There's just less attachment, pretty much, but it's just world building. Just like the guys who goes around outside the wall and they cannot talk. They just use their hands.
So what's the interpretation of getting sick in this world? Like touching the wall or... Is that sickness brought upon by their own psychological guilt or what?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I guess that's just a plot device as well, honestly, because the Hyoko, he didn't get sick. He got hit by a light.
Yeah, true.
He almost bled out, just straight up.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's like, if it's mainly just a thing where like there are consequences for breaking the rules. And
okay.
Like, it could literally be a situation is like, well, you're here to perform a sort of like ritual. The ritual is you like, we're assuming is to sort of like become one with, or at least do some sort of atonement and or like, kind of like come to terms with something in your character in order for you to move on to either heaven or to a new stage of life or re-life. Maybe just that the sickness or the lightning or not going beyond the walls is just, you know, it's like just to, it's kind of like to keep you on track, right?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Maybe.
But as I said, the show is so fucking like
esoteric.
open-ended yeah. That, you know, just a lot
open-ended,
of
open-ended, of course. Yeah.
I mean, like, nice.
But that's the that's interesting as well, right? Because it's something talking about like the seas, right? Like why do they get sick? And one thing that I definitely find interesting as well with the with that is just how these guys are, well, as far as we know, they're somewhat human, right? Because the Hybana can get sick, the humans exist and in this world, and we are basically also told that they will eventually die, which sort of seems there's also a part of this that sort of tries to build that human quality in them, like they're not quite dead yet. and they will eventually die, which I don't know, again, but that's what I mean when I say there's also some, like,
yeah, that didn't
feeling a little bit,
to
like,
me.
conflicting, like, points added in there, so it's like, it's purgatory, but some they aren't quite dead, and therefore they still have human, you know, basic human stuff, like disease, and they apparently can die in this place. Okay. Yeah.
They grow older as well.
They grow older, yeah. They age. So it's like, they don't come off as if they're some sort of, like, you know, immortal beings or anything like that, or like post life. It just feels like this is another step in life. And I've seen some theories floating around that this place exists to allow, since the Hybern are usually younger, especially when they come out, they're younger, that this is a place for children who died young to get a second chance at fulfilling something they wanted to, they never got the chance to do in life.
Like a reset,
which I think is
right? Interesting.
Yeah,
essentially. Like a replay, yeah. I was thinking of that as well. Like, maybe it's literally such a situation where, you know, there was like their true suicide or just early like childhood mortality. They got to go kind of like a real life situation where they go back and fill a certain amount of like life experience or sort of tasks just to like, again, I kind of love this shit though. That's kind of one of the reasons I really like the show. So I think you could speculate on it endlessly for better or for worse, you know.
It's an interesting conversation topic.
Yes. Just know, meeting new people and go, so what do you think? What do you think the afterlife is like? I watched a show called Hybern of Envy, and I think it talks about dead kids fulfilling their dreams. It's like, what?
Funny you should talk about that, because I've been thinking about that a lot myself lately.
I didn't
realize that until
dead
now.
People though, dead kids.
The first time I came on this podcast, we did Night on the Galactic Railroad, and
oh my god,
I kind of feel like. I know it's kind of like we're on this like a weird sort of sequel to that episode.
Yeah,
no, you're not wrong.
Everything's about the punishment of life and
death. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently. I gotta preface that I do not spend all my time obsessing about young dead children. I don't do that.
Nah, it's okay.
It was a happy coincidence.
Happy coincidence.
And then you do Ghost Hound.
Ghost. I really like that one as well.
About dead kids.
Jeez.
We've got a theme going on here.
All right, we're about to talk about dead kids. Yata, he is back.
I will say about Ghost Town, the appeal to Ghost Town and Hybern of Envy was mainly their weird as fuck kind of vibes. I think as far as I'm not remembering incorrectly, I think Rintaro Nakamura directed Ghost Town. I might be wrong there, but that was kind of the reason why I really wanted, like, I really like kind of vibes with Ghost Town. It's because I feel like it's sort of in this space, you know? I dead kids aside, it is a good show.
Dead kids aside.
That does go with the theme of Red Leaf Retrocast in general. Is the hatred of children.
Yeah.
Especially orphans.
No wonder. I was about to say, it's weird that Yata didn't show up for the Heavy podcast, but I was like, well, actually, I mean, they were still alive. She was just in a wheelchair. It's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, her entire future might have been ruined, but you know, she was still technically alive.
Oh, God. She still got a heartbeat? Then I don't care.
Well, how old is Angel Beats at this point in time? That's gotta be up there, right?
I think it's like 2000.
Wasn't that like 2009?
Is it 2010? Yeah, it's probably like a couple of years.
2010,
off,
yeah. Yeah.
It was okay.
12 years. Holy shit.
All right, it's getting there. We're getting close.
It's getting there. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll be on for that one if you guys are if you're lacking a guest. Right up my alleyway, apparently.
Right up my alley. Oh yeah. But I mean, at least these things are fun talking points. That's the most important thing, you know. Could have easily come out and be like, I really like, I don't know, insert like standard rom com and be like, okay, what do we talk about here?
Yeah. How about that part where they almost kiss? Great, right?
Right. Oh yeah, dude, I love that. I love that in every other show I've also seen ever.
in episode 507 when they actually touched their hands together. Oh,
you know, yeah, when he blushed uncontrollably when he accidentally made contact with her. She sort of quickly ran.
And it only took 500 episodes. Holy shit, dude.
Oh, so you've seen
so worth it.
So you've also seen Urusei Yatsura.
So worth it. Listen, man, we're over 1,000 episodes in, and fucking Luffy still hasn't found the One Piece. So, you know,
I'm back on my One Piece binge. I'm watching that. It's he's finally learning. He's learning some things. Let's go. Come on. I think I'm on like 965 now. Yeah.
Damn, that's like nothing.
Well, I'm over 1,000 with Detective Conan, so. did you know the English dub is almost caught up with One Piece?
You have to press the X again.
Did he?
Yeah, probably.
Unbelievable, this guy. Did he move on? Did he go? Did he get his shining light moment? His day of flight?
All right, he's back in general now. He's back in general. Get him in.
Get him in.
Get him in. Get back here.
I did it again.
We're not done with you yet, Yoda. You can't leave.
I'm sorry. I've been like trying to like research stuff on the side. I'm like, oh, you know, and I keep on closing the fucking wrong article. Sorry.
The day of flight almost came.
Yeah, that's what it was. I thought I'd cleared up all my business. I was ready to ascend, and turns out. Still more business to do.
I fulfilled everything I want to say. I talked about dead kids. Time to fly.
Time to go join them.
My wings are just becoming black. That's all that's happening to me.
So like weird story, like arts aside, what do you guys think of like Abe's like character like designs and the art in general? Because I quite like his art style. I think it's quite unique. I actually kind of like the gray sepia tone and the sort of sun flares that was going on. The lighting was really weird, but I really kind of like I really enjoy how this looks visually, except for the CG. The CG was crappy. This is probably fine.
Honestly, on animation, I don't like it, but on like normal drawings, just graphic novels and whatnot, I enjoy his art because it's very oil on paint looking. So it's very unique and interesting. And the colors are more saturated. But when it comes down to animation, even the other animations I don't enjoy, especially because they try to do this coloration with you know the Zero Experiments Lane being the worst offender because everything is just white. But when it comes down to art style and his artwork, yes, the art style in animation, I don't like it. Not at all. I don't know why. There's something wacky, especially when the characters are 3x4, or 3x4 view. It's kind of weird.
So, I don't know. Like, there's something, especially in, like, talking about the anime art style, at least. It kind of reminds me of like, it doesn't so much remind me of like Abe's style as much as it reminds me of like this like weird period, like early 2000s, like Moody Show style.
I'm thinking the exact same thing.
Right? If you remember like Witch Hunter Robin, it doesn't look the same or anything. That's not what I mean. But like, it kind of gives a little bit of the same vibe in like how it's framed, lighting, lots of brown, gray stuff like that. Right? You know what I mean, right? And it's like
flat plain character like faces, not a whole lot of animation going on. Yeah, I associate like, this style with like the early to mid 2000s of just peak non-inspiration.
Yeah, it's like okay. There's not a whole lot like facial expressions. Yeah, facial expressions. But like when you look at the actual like drawings as done by himself for like the stuff, it's like they look a lot more. They're definitely a lot more detailed. There's a lot more going on there, even though they're still very like blank expression. But it's like you get a lot more out of it in anime because mostly just like it becomes a little too flat in my opinion. And then, you know, the typical sort of fan early 2000s anime junk was like, oh, look at those black feathers. Oh, my God. Anyways, we're changing a camera angle right now. And look at that. All the black on the feathers is now gone. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
They couldn't even be bothered drawing it in, huh?
Let's see. Just putting some spots. Who made the show? Yeah. Studio what?
The coloring Radix? on Hibernate.
Radix, yeah.
What the hell is great. Studio Radix?
Studio Radix. You don't know. They did such amazing thing like Love Gets You and Cream Lemon, New Generation.
Silent Mobius. Ah, yes. How can we all not forget? Yeah.
Can we all not remember?
Yeah. I weirdly I actually do remember that show. I have an old VHS tape of it somewhere in Texas. But anyways.
Somewhere in Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, they did Comic Body.
Specifically yeah. Houston, but anyways.
Oh, they're Hickey's favorite studio.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did Comic Body, well, only the second season? Okay. Yeah. Only the
I
second
also,
season.
I
take that as a never mind.
Comic Party is probably one of the funniest worst enemies I ever watched.
No.
I'm so reluctant of choosing it for this podcast because it's just about drawing and comic, but they skip all the drawing and all the comic. It's like, okay, I'm going to draw now. My doujinshi, it's gonna take 3 months, and it's the end of the episode. The next episode, you think, you know, you're gonna show the guy drawing. No, it's just skip 3 months. Like, what the fuck? What's the point? Anyway, hi, Banerende. And definitely the best work of the studio.
I think, like, near
yeah,
understanding.
Based on that kind of perfect glass, yes.
Yeah, the list is not great.
Seven. Yeah. I think I like Highbound Never Renmei more than Neon Under 7. Neon Under 7's a little... I don't vibe massively with the humor in Neon Under 7, I guess.
I don't vibe with
it's it. It's a little...
Let's see.
It's a little, you know, repetitive.
Oh my god, I see my notes from Neon Under 7 and under subject as poor people. Great.
That was a vital point of Neon Under 7, yes.
Fantastic. I guess technically I like Abade Renmei more than Nie Under 7. How about that?
There you go. Perfect. There we go. Now we're going somewhere.
What did I give Serial Experiments Lane? Let's see. I'm looking back. Not as good as that, apparently. Okay.
What did you give it? You gotta tell us in there.
So I gave Nie Under 7 a 3 out of 10. Oh, I gave Serial Experiments okay. Lane a 5 out of 10. And Habane Renmei is a 4 out of 10 for me. Yeah.
Oh, savage. Savage. Is this a mal rating, by the way?
It's a mal rating, and
that is extra savage because
I was about to say it's like if this is mal ratings, then it should be like a 6, you know, because a 6 is fucking dog shit.
Well, I kind of give them 5 out of 10 is like average, didn't really enjoy it, didn't hate it, didn't like it, kind of thing. And then I just kind of go from there.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, we've been over this.
You might be the only person who does this. I literally thought Malrating started at 7.
Well, for like those 7. People, yeah. Yeah.
Malratings definitely do start at 7.
Yeah.
But yeah, nah. We like to use the entirety of the 10 scale, except for Hickey, who doesn't like 1s or 10s because yes. He's weird like that. But yeah, nah. For me, Haibane Renmei is I'd give it like a 7. Like, I enjoy it. It's definitely not the sort of show that I would go out of my way. I watched it once and I was satisfied, and I rewatched it now for this podcast purposes, but like, it's not the sort of show I would see myself like revisiting a whole lot just to be like, man, am I going to get something new out of it? I'm never going to get anything new out of it. I might think of new theories, but it's still just going to be like, ah, yes, maybe that is something he was trying to say. I will still never know, but you know, could be.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. what would you give it out of 10?
I gave it an 8, actually.
Oh, shit.
Because I really enjoy it. Like I said, I watched this 6, maybe 5, maybe 6 times. No, It's just one of the out of the.
It took me three times just to finish. It's not.
Yeah, it's mostly because again I enjoy Abe's work, although I don't like how he goes around it. And it's not. It's something with his art style, and then cover arts and every single official art is by him, which is they're really good and distinct. And the story is not by Chiaki Konata, Konaka, which every time makes everything very complicated. So it's kind of light and nice. Even with the theories and whatnot, they're very light. They're direct enough so you can speculate on why exactly make the Haibane qualify to be a Haibane. The rest is kind of explained to you at some point. You know, with the train incident or the old communicator guy going around at the end going, look, Sinbound, they just lose the wings and halos and they just get stuck here. And he kind of sleeps and go, the high bunny needs to have the day of flight because that's how they become happy. He's like, oh, I see you fucked up. Those kind of things are throw at you. You're not asking for it. The anime just kind of slaps at you. It's like, nah, there you go. So something for you. And you can speculate a little bit. It's fun. I think it's a neat show. I like the eerie feeling the show has. So I gave it an 8.
I did ask myself this question about the show. And I wondered, what if I just didn't watch this at the right time of my life? Like, if I was, I don't know, 13 watching the show, I would have felt way differently about it. Because the frame of mind that a lot of angsty teenagers have probably vibe with the show a lot more. You want something that you can dive your psyche into, feel the vibe a lot more. And I watched this, you know, essentially when I was kind of in my early 20s and didn't really feel that way. So maybe I've asked that question about it about
I
shows like this
know,
a number of different times.
I watched Witch Hunt Robin or Try to when I was like 14, 15, and that show is dog shit.
Well,
I was about to
we
say
we all agree with that.
The reason why I disagree with that is just because I know myself at 13, and I can tell you I wouldn't have been able to sit through one episode of Five on the Red Man at 13. I would be like, there's nothing happening. Give me some action. Where's the giant robot smashing everything? Where's the action? Where's the explosion?
JD,
why has no one died yet?
JD, have you ever watched Sora no Woto?
Say that again, Hickey.
Sora no Woto.
English title, maybe?
God damn.
Not familiar.
Is it the forest?
The English title is Sora no Woto.
Oh. Well,
it's forest.
Sound of the Sky. Sound of the Sky.
Oh, Sound of the Sky, yes. That's actually a really good show, by the way.
It is.
Sora no
Woto. It's kind of close.
Oto?
It's,
like Oto.
Yeah, it's Sound of Sky.
Sound of the Sky.
Oh, it is Moe Blobs. I will say that. Though.
It is, but it's kind of like Hyperman, but without the death, I guess.
Sound of the Sky. Let's see. There's
well, there's
manga.
Death because they were technically in a war. So
the best kind of death.
A lot of great trumpet solos as well.
I am not familiar with this. No.
Okay.
This is a big budget one. It's A1, right? Is it this one?
This is A1, yeah. A1.
Again, I think it's like it was like definitely like inspired by the K-On sort of like gold rush. Like we have to have these moe characters sort of doing, but it's definitely like way above average for like that particular genre space. I think, Side of the Sky is fucking awesome.
2010.
Well, awesome, maybe. What?
No, very, very much unfamiliar.
Huh. Anyway, it's kind of the same vibe, but happy, technically.
Technically.
Right, if you say so.
Because that would be kind of showing in the same category, question mark. But you watch that way later, I guess, in life. I don't know if there's any other... Maybe
Is there any show like Haibunner Anime? There's not a lot of esoteric anime out there. There's not Angel Bits.
Well, there's Technolize. we still got that on the list. I think that's last. We already did Rossafon. Rossafon.
Rossafon. Yeah, that's a show.
Do you not think there's like certain elements of Mushishi in Haibunner Anime in terms of like, I don't know. There's like a lot of earthy colors. It's sort of like,
oh, I absolutely.
I think
do.
It's generally kind of like, yeah. I know it's not like a one. They're like, it's very like, because Haibunner Anime is so odd, and Mushishi is kind of so odd in itself. They're both kind of like quite unique kind of shows. So it's very hard to like have a something that's like directly sort of relatable. But I think you could do worse than say like, oh, well, you know, if you like Haibunner Anime, you might like Mushishi.
Yeah, well, I mean, during this watch and on the back end of Mononoke, I put into chat, is Mushi, like, I was just in the mood. Like, I got in a mood, for sure. And I proposed the question, is Mushishi old enough? Yes. I'm like, well, that's going to be the next episode. Like, that is how that came to be.
Looking at the other Mal recommendations, they have a Kino's Journey, which I can kind of see.
Kino's Journey.
Kino's Journey's there, yeah.
They have Aria the Animation. They have Aria the Animation over here, and I couldn't agree any less.
Angel, I mean,
Aria the Animation. Like, yes, I absolutely remembered when they died and went to Purgatory. What?
Yes.
Well, they're on Mars having some vibes, you know.
They got sent to fucking a Mars colony, dude.
I don't know how much closer to Purgatory you can get.
Fucking full of water.
They were sent to Venice in Mars.
It says here, the Aria the Animation one, the rationale was a show, a slow and gentle progression, showing a different world, that the different people that live there and their various occupations, while the involved characters grow and learn about life. Like, he's not wrong.
I'm agreeing with the Mal dude.
Sure. Sure, but I don't know. It's like learning about life.
Someone actually
don't really learn about life.
Chance in life.
Aria, they don't really learn about life. It's mostly just like, I want to be an Undinus. Like, okay, cool. Here, you practice to become an Undinus. Like, okay. And then anyways, here's like all those things you find take for granted about life. You know, all the little treasures in everyday life. It's like, hey, have you ever just stopped and smelled the flowers and looked around and take a look at Venice? I mean, looks pretty beautiful. Doesn't actually look like Venice completely because it looks more like a general.
It's not a sinking old city that smells.
It definitely is not. Well, kind of is a sinking old city, but it does not smell. At least they didn't say it smelled. But you know,
it definitely smells.
That's about it.
Definitely.
And then of course that one episode where they went to the Japanese shrine because of the Inari Shrine Island, because that of course has to be a thing.
Of course. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, no.
So what is your score, Yata?
I think the rating on Mal is like 7.97, which is like 8, basically.
Yeah.
And I think I'm there with Hickey and the Mal score, which is kind of rare. But I think I am a Mal user, but I tend to not agree with the Mal scores generally. Everything is a 7, 8, or 9, basically. Or not everything is a 7 or an 8. In this case, I think actually is an 8. For a lot of reasons, Hickey said, like, this is not the first time I've gone back to Haibunner Anime. It's not the sixth time either. I think this is the third time. And I'm not going to lie. I can see myself going back to this a fourth time, honestly. I really do like enjoy this series. I don't know, like, 13-year-old me would have handled it, honestly, on that respect. I definitely see this as a show I appreciate more as I got older. Because I just feel like I feel like I have less need to like know all the answers, shall we say. And this show, if you need to have answers, this show would fucking infuriate you. Like, if you did get through it, you know. I can see a lot of people not being happy with the ending, for example, and just the whole
I was very
sort of journey.
Dissatisfied with the ending. I was.
Yeah,
I can totally understand that.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
You learn
what happens to
things?
Her? That's the only thing I cared about.
It's like, It's like you learn all of these things. It's like, okay, this is purgatory. Yeah, whatever. Everybody is like passing, moving on. Okay. And so what? Why does this matter? It's like, yeah, I don't know.
You'll never
figure it out. You can figure out why it matters.
And when you do, you will transcend. Maybe that's why it'd be.
Well, that's why we can never know the answer, because when we know the answer, that'll be the day of our flight.
Yeah. Do you know the meaning of life? No. But I can't help you. God.
Someday an old man is going to show up at my door and he will hand me a fucking thing and is like, this contains your real name. And he'll be like, oh God. Oh no.
My name's not Tori. Shit. Oh, no,
not the train incident again.
All right, Yata. You got some plugs for us one last time?
Yeah, my anime podcast. And to say anime podcast, that's it, basically.
Well, all right. This was episode 139. Getting ever closer to 150. Maybe we'll do a hentai episode pretty soon.
Oh,
yay! Finally,
yeah. We got those. We got that spot, dude. We got that Spotify Wrapped, and it's just like, oh, look at our top anime ever, and of course the hentai is like right there. It's just number two.
Fair. Yeah, that is a golden hentai with the birch trees.
Before I gotta share. Oh, hold on. It was, what was it? What were the top ones again? It was the fucking dog shonen show number dogs. One. It was like 778% more streams than our average episode. Woo! And then number two was fucking Stainless Knight. It was like, my God. Success.
Wait. I kind of wonder if our most edited episode ever was fucking Code Realize.
Code Realize. God.
I swear to God. Dude.
Oh my God, no.
Yes. It was like, whatever it is about, you know, whatever it was about that particular, that show, for some reason people want to hear about it. I'm going to go check now. I'm pretty certain it was Code Realize last time I checked, though. It always baffled me. Like, that was like more mysterious than Hyphen and Renmei to me. It's like how the Code Realize episode got so many fucking downloads.
It's always the ones you least suspect. Although we do suspect why the hentai episodes get the most.
Yes, I could probably figure that one out. Definitely,
I can definitely figure out why that is. I mean, that's the same thing. It's like I am actually concerned how many people find my YouTube channel by typing in stuff like hentai and anime fuck. Those are actually popular search terms for my channel, and I'm just like, why?
What do you mean, Tori? Why?
How?
I know you put that in the tags that for every single thing you do.
I honestly probably should.
Yeah, I just looked at it. Code Realize has 3 times more downloads than Steins Gate, which is number two. Hey, it's like, that's right. Actually baffling to me. Fucking Code Realize. So, guys, if you want the down, if you want the big downloads, Code Realize.
Sorry, it's not retro.
Well, you just remember this 10 years from now when it is. Look, finally.
Finally, we can do Code Realize. Do you think people still care?
Yeah. I don't think they ever cared. But apparently,
I mean, you know, it could be one of those shows that people just hated so much that when they saw it, they were like, "Oh, I need to hear what they have to say on this one."
Yeah, oh man, there you go. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll. Thanks for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun. I guess I'll see you in 2.5 years when Angel Beats becomes retro.
Well, hopefully we can get you on sooner next time.
Yeah, and let's. I guess we'll try to accidentally avoid the dead children thing, right?
Well,
yes,
accidentally. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, this was purely not a purposeful move. So, or maybe we'll actually just lean into it and say, like, I don't know, like Higurashi or something like that.
Trust me, we're not doing this on purpose. No.
No, not at all
it's
anymore.
A happy accident.
All right.
It's the dead baby guy.
Redleaf Retrocast. We'll see you next time.